Glory to God. This is TH 103, week 2, class number 2. And we're talking about this process of edification as it relates to our faith. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight or by what our senses tell us. We also know that faith only comes by hearing the Word of God. Then we saw how in the Word it tells us that faith works by love, and that God's love is ministered to us or shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Then over in Jude, as we pray in tongues, it keeps us in the love of God. So there's a process contained in here. We're supposed to walk by faith. Well, we hear the Word, and the Word releases faith in our spirits. We pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit builds us up on that faith. And then as we're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit also causes God's love to be shed abroad in our hearts. That love becomes the catalyst or anointing to operate our faith. So, you know, consider it this way. If you're not praying in tongues, how can you say that you're truly living by faith? Now, you can say you're living by every word that comes forth from the word of or mouth of God, you know, which is what Jesus said when Satan was tempting him. But the thing is, if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit, okay, think of it like this. You know, honestly, we really don't know how to live by the Word of God. I mean, think about it. The moment you got born again, you had the capacity to live by the Word of God, but you didn't know what that meant. You had to have somebody train you. And now here's the thing that's it'll mess people up. In some cases, a person will stand up and preach in the church and tell folks that all this faith stuff, you know, you better watch out. Those crazy faith people, stay off those TV programs and, you know, don't listen to those faith preachers because they'll just mess up your lives. Then the faith preachers come along and they say, listen, you've got to do this. The Bible says, walk by faith, not by sight. Here's what the Bible says about living by faith and so on. So now think of it like this. The people that stand up and tell you not to listen to all of that, they're not walking by faith. No matter what they tell you, they're not walking by faith. Because if you do anything to teach or instruct somebody not to apply what God has said in His Word, you're telling them not to live by faith. Now, again, that's not exactly the way it's presented, but that's what's going on. So therefore, I have a responsibility to teach you how to live by the Word of God. But the thing is, when it comes right down to it, living by the fullness of God's Word is something nobody really understands until they've had instruction from God Himself. I mean, if we're supposed to live by faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, God's got to be involved in this thing. We can't do it on our own. Again, the Holy Spirit steps in and says, I realize, look, you can't do this by yourself. And if you try, it could breed confusion. Let me help you. I'll shed the love of God abroad in your heart. I'll help you build yourself up on your most holy faith. I'll help you learn to live by faith. I'll help you learn how to trust God in everything that He has said. And if you take a look here in Jude verse 3, he says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, very briefly here in Jude 3, what he's saying is, you know, I started out to write a letter to you about the common salvation. Or in other words, he was going to do a teaching about our salvation and so on and so forth, you know, what we receive from Christ and all that. But then he says, I found out, however, that there was something more important I needed to write to you about. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Okay? He's saying earnestly contend. Think of it like this. You're a prize fighter. And the loser of the fight that you're in, you don't just walk away with less money than the winner. They kill you. So from that perspective, you're going to earnestly contend to win that fight. He says, earnestly contend, fight with everything that is in you for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, this goes right along with the warning that John gave in 1 John chapter 2 about, I write this concerning them that seduce you. Jude basically is saying the same thing. There are people that have come along and they are distorting the message of faith. They are distorting the message of truth. They are distorting the gospel. They're teaching things that are going to lead you astray. And the rest of this book is an exhortation to stay on track, and it's also an exposing of what to look for in those who are teaching wrong stuff. Now, we're going to teach this whole book tonight, but this is what he's writing about. Many people are going to try to teach other doctrines. One of the hardest things for me, at least this is how I perceive it, one of the hardest things for me is to convey to those who hear me how important it is that you get on the right track. This is, the more that I've prayed in tongues, the more the Holy Spirit has worked in me, the more God's been able to open my eyes to see more of what is happening in the body of Christ. And there are times over the years when I have been standing and teaching about this and how important it is that whatever you believe, the doctrine you believe, lines up with what God has said in His Word. And people will, you know, they'll nod, amen, that's right. But as I'm looking at them, it's like in their eyes, I can see they don't understand. And in a little bit here tonight, at some point tonight, I'm going to read to you, really, it's a prophetic word the Lord gave me earlier this evening as I was praying and preparing for all of this. And it kind of deals with this whole issue. It'll be very clear once I read it to you. But one of the greatest difficulties for me is to get people to accept. Okay, I'll say it another way. Is to get people to accept that what they believe, or not all of what they believe, but maybe a lot of what they believe, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And it's like I'll be teaching some things and exhorting about this. You've got to be right, and you're going to stand before God. You can't go any further than the level of truth that you are living by. You can't go any further than the right doctrine that you've chosen to accept. God will not honor what is, and on and on. I teach this, and it's like folks will say, "That's right, that's right." But I can tell, and I'm not going to say it's divine revelation from God, but I can tell just by the expressions on their faces, their eyes, or, you know, divine revelation from God, or whatever. But I can tell it's not sinking in, because I can see they think everything they believe is right, and that what I'm saying applies to the person next to them. And so therefore, they don't have to examine what they believe. And it doesn't matter to them, because they think, well, yeah, that's right. He's right. You better listen to him. Listen to him. He's talking to you. He's not talking to me. He's talking to you. And I'm sitting up here thinking, no, I'm talking to you and them. Okay, let me say it this way as it pertains to this course. If you have never been taught about praying in tongues, why you should pray in tongues, what happens when you pray in tongues, etc., 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 then the odds are there are a lot of stuff that you believe is wrong. Okay, let me give you an actual example. A friend of mine went to a doctor or a clinic and had a cleansing, an inner cleansing, a colonic. And that's a type of enema. Now, you may think this sounds gross, but I mean, it really purges you of stuff and gets out, you know, junk that's built up and so forth. And he was telling me about it. And as he was being purged, as this was taking place, the person that was doing it began to ask him some questions and said, "Do you eat pork?" And he said, "Well, no." And the person doing it said, "Well, how long has it been since you ate pork?" And he said, "Well, it's years." He said, "I just don't eat it." He said, and the person said, "Well, have you been around pigs?" And he said, "Well, you know what? As I was growing up as a kid, my uncle raised pigs." And she said, "That must be it then." He said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Because a lot of what's being purged out of you are the kind of parasites that only come from pigs or pork." And he said, "But I haven't had pork and I can't remember." And she said, "It doesn't matter. If you've been around pigs, these parasites are in you. And she said, the only way to get them out is, you know, begin to explain to him. So here he had been living for like 35, 45 years. These things were in him. He didn't know it. He thought everything was okay. He hadn't eaten pork. And to him, this stuff didn't exist. And then all of a sudden, when he starts going through a cleansing, there they are. Likewise, in the realm of the spirit, if you have never been taught about praying in tongues, you've never understood about praying in tongues, you've never made a practice of praying in tongues, then the odds are you've got spiritual parasites on the inside of you and you don't even know it. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to you because I've been there. I know. I've experienced this. So I'm just passing along to you what I've gone through. And every person that has ever taken the time to apply what's being taught on this course, and I mean apply it to their life, not just do it now and then while the course is being taught. I mean, it becomes their life, their lifestyle. People have come back to me and said, gee whiz, and then begin to share with me these spiritual parasites that they've discovered on the inside. Did not know they were there. Had no idea. Thought that, you know, such and such over here was right. No, it's not right. And God began to show them things because now they're allowing the Holy Spirit to deposit in them that anointing that is truth that cannot lie. And the candle is burning brighter. In Jude verse 3, he is telling us, he's making it very clear, in the body of Christ, there are people that are going to teach things that don't line up with the faith, or put another way, with the things that God has established in His Word as truth. Praying in tongues is contending for truth. Because He says, first off, He gives you the warning, earnestly contend for the faith. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll put more money in the offering. No, no, no. There's nothing about offerings in here. Okay, then I'll work at the church more. No, I mean, you should, yes, help out, but that's not what this... Well, then Jude, what do I do? You're telling me to earnestly contend for the faith. What am I supposed to do? And he tells you right there in verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice he doesn't say, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing nothing but reading the Bible. Why is that? Because the ones that are coming in to pull you away from the faith are using twisted scripture to teach wrong doctrine. And this is where the body of Christ really struggles sometimes, is accepting the fact that deception in the body of Christ usually involves the use of scripture, but a wrong use of scripture. And then when you tell somebody, well, you know, such and such, you know, this teaching here, this, that's not right. Well, now, wait a minute. Just last week, the pastor read this over here, and he taught us about that verse. Well, yeah, but that verse is just one stroke of the brush. You need to look at the entire picture. Let's go back into the chapter. Let's go back into the book. And then when you start to do that, man, that can be a rude awakening. Brother Martin, what, you telling me my pastor's wrong? Hey, listen, Jesus died for your pastor, okay? God's not going to zap him with a lightning bolt. I've been wrong myself. And the Holy Spirit's had to do correcting. As far as that, we're not questioning your pastor's salvation. Let's not get off on a tangent here. But if he's teaching such and such about this, yeah, I mean, that's wrong. Well, how dare you speak that way about my pastor? No. Maybe we could look at it like this. How dare your pastor speak that way about God's Word? Well, we don't want to think about that, though, do we? Can you see what a challenge this is? And Jude is giving this warning here. Well, look over in Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. In verse 23... Jesus says, for verily I say unto you, for a surety, absolute, guaranteed, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Doubt and unbelief keep us from receiving what we pray for and what we say. This is one of the reasons why a lot of people, they say the faith and confession message doesn't work. They don't believe it works. I mean, what did Jesus say? Believe it, pray it, speak it, receive it. That's what he says. And then people turn around and say it doesn't work. It does work. God can't lie. So if this instruction is contained in his word, it works. But it's doubt and unbelief that keep us from even believing this verse, let alone receiving. See, I confessed, but like I told you, it doesn't work. You didn't believe it was going to work when you started confessing. You had a mountain of unbelief on the inside of you that was keeping you from believing that you were going to get anything. You just did it because, well, somebody said to do it, so you're just doing it. But you never believed it was going to work. Anyway, so you're confessing healing, but that ain't going to work anyway. You know how you can tell when people don't believe what they're confessing? The healing thing, for example. It's when they keep talking about their sickness and disease more than what God said in His Word. When they keep talking about the problem and the pain more than what God has said in His Word. When they keep talking about how it's getting worse and worse and worse more than what God has said in His Word. We're not diminishing the value of feeling good. We're not diminishing the discomfort that a person's going through. But listen, I learned a long time ago, I mean a long time ago, not to talk about it when my body isn't feeling good. My wife, you know, sometimes my wife, she can't seem to I'm not saying anything bad about my wife. She likes me to communicate with her. You understand what I'm saying? And if there's something wrong, she loves me. She wants to know if there's something wrong, if there's something hurting. So I'm not saying she's a woman of no faith, but I just don't talk about it. If there's something that hurts or something, I just don't. Because I learned a long time ago, it doesn't do me any good. How do I profit by belly aching about my belly aching? It doesn't do me any good. And so I don't talk about it. And, you know, sometimes I can't avoid it because there are times where I've gone to the doctor about something. And, you know, some people say, well, you ain't got no faith. Okay, I ain't got no faith. Fine. But I'm getting there, all right? In between now and there, I might make a visit to the doctor on occasion. Okay, so don't give me a hard time about this. It's not a sin to go to the doctor. And then sometimes it's only when I mention the doctor that she says, so something's wrong, huh? It's like, well, am I wrong? So what I'm getting at is, Doubt and unbelief will keep you from praying in tongues. Doubt and unbelief will keep you from a greater anointing. Doubt and unbelief will keep you. Some people look at themselves and they see the life that they're living and their social status and where they live, wrong side of town. I wasn't raised this way, and they look at that as being the determining factor of their entire future. God's word says, wait a minute. I'm God. You think I'm bound by your circumstances? Well, I am, but I'm not. The only way I am is if you choose to be bound by your circumstances. Because if you choose to be bound by the way you were raised, where you live, your lack of education, if you choose to be bound by that, there's not a whole lot I can do for you. And here I am, God. It's what you choose in all of this. The Holy Spirit knows every area of unbelief in our heart. He knows the things that you don't believe, even if you don't know what you don't believe. He knows where the doubt and unbelief exists. Okay, remember the story where the guy came to Jesus, you know, his kid needed healing? And Jesus said, you know, well, you know, if you believe, it'll happen. And a man said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. In other words, the guy is telling him, he says, listen, as far as I know, I believe, but if there's any unbelief on the inside of me, I need some help with this. It's the same thing with us. I say I believe. Now here's the thing, guys. God's word can't fail. God's word produces results. If I am not getting God's word results in my life the way I should, then the problem is not with God and the problem is not with His word. The problem is right here with me. It's not you. It's not my wife. It's nobody else. It's me. I need to deal with me. Well, see, the Holy Spirit knows all of these areas in us. where there's unbelief. Praying in tongues deals with those areas. I mean, really, unbelief is a type of tradition. A lot of people may not think of it that way, but the traditions render the Word of God of none effect. Unbelief renders the Word of God of none effect. By His stripes you were healed. Yes, but I believe that's a spiritual healing. God doesn't heal spiritually. He recreates spiritually. Born again, not healed. Okay? Any area of unbelief, the Holy Spirit knows it. And the more we pray in tongues is the more that He can help us in this, because the anointing of power is going to be released in us as we pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit begins releasing this, and He begins, through that anointing, helping us to identify this area of unbelief. And the more, and we have to come to the place. See, you have to believe this is true. First off, you have to accept, okay, look, I haven't raised any dead people in a while. In fact, the more I think about it, I've never raised a dead person. Blind eyes have survived every prayer of mine. Nobody has come to me deaf and walked away hearing. I mean, seems to me like a lot of things aren't happening that Jesus said ought to happen. Now, as I look at myself, I don't see unbelief. And I think I'm believing pretty good. But I'm going to have to bow my knee, eat a little crow here, admit to some pride, and just say, okay, God, since I'm not getting word results the way I should, there must be some unbelief in me. I don't know where it is, but there must be. Because as I stand here, God, I say, I believe your Bible. I believe your word. So I don't even know how there could be unbelief in me. But there's got to be something there somewhere that's hindering the fullness of your word and your promises and your will, etc., taking place. So I admit there's unbelief. I just don't know where it is, and I don't understand it. We have to believe that when we pray in tongues, we are addressing this area of unbelief, wherever it is. And the Holy Spirit knows. So we start praying in tongues, and He says, now I can deal with this unbelief. It's been in there for 22 years, and you didn't even know it. We're going to deal with this thing. Don't stop praying. We're making progress on this area of unbelief. And we must use our faith to stay in prayer. Here's the thing. I'm using my faith for money, and I'm using my faith for healing, and I'm using my faith for a new car, and I'm using my faith for a job. Oh, I understand that. But here's the thing. It's a greater task to use your faith to stay in prayer, praying in tongues. Because you've got to use faith to believe making all these sounds is dealing with you on the inside, so that Christ in you, the hope of glory, can release glory through you. Have you ever considered the fact that praying in tongues might be the key to helping you get that job? Not that God's going to produce the job, but it might, praying in tongues is going to deal with an area of unbelief. Okay, the ABC company down here, they ain't going to hire me. I mean, they got a big sign, no jobs, you know, not hiring, whatever. And God's saying, you need to go in there. And you say, ain't nobody going to hire me in there. He says, you need to go in there. It's like, well, ain't nobody going to hire me in there. And so, but you're praying in tongues, pray, tongues, shandai, all day long. Then one day you're driving by and it's like, you start to pull in. And you're thinking, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I mean, and you pull in like you're on a mission. You pull in, you park, you walk in, and there's a sign, not hiring. But you walk in like it's not there. You walk in and you say, excuse me, I'm here to turn in an application for a job. And the secretary looks at you and says, but there's a sign that says not hiring. You say, yeah, I know, but I've been out of work now, and I know how to operate a Quasimodo machine. And they say, wait, hold on. You know how to operate a Quasimodo machine? Well, yeah. What model? An A7627BX2ZY? No kidding! We just got one of those machines delivered today. We need somebody. Here. How much you want? You see what I'm saying? God knows these kind of things. He knows what's going on out there. And here we are, we waste our time relying on our senses. But the sign says, and God said, when's the last time that sign kept me out of that building? I know what's going on the other side of that sign, and if you'll just spend some time with me, I can tell you what's happening on the other side of that sign. In fact, He could even give you the revelation. They just got that new Quasimodo machine. And you go, you come walking in there and say, excuse me, is it true you just got a new Quasimodo machine? And they look at you and say, my gosh, we haven't even got the thing out of the crate. How did you know? Well, I know how to work those machines. In fact, I know how to assemble them. Well, bless God, get back there now. We need help. Praying in tongues allows the Holy Spirit to deal with any area of unbelief in you, to get you to the place to walking by faith and not by sight. The power eventually will come to walk by faith in every area of your life. Oh, I can, remember Moses? But God, I can't talk right. God says, you know, you're testing me here, Moses. You're on my last nerve. You may feel like you can't do... Listen, I have encountered people. Oh, and this, it frustrates me, but I really have to, you know, respond in love. People that, it's Christians, students, that it's like they have this image. They can't do anything for God. It's like, but I got a jerk for a husband. So? We're not talking about serving him. We are talking about serving God. And you're telling me God can't work something out with your jerk husband or your jerk wife? Maybe He could make them unjerk. He can change their jerk status from jerk to nice. All kinds of things can happen. Yeah, but I just, you know, but oh, I could never. Here, you know what I've heard from so many people? But oh, Brother Martin, I could never do it like you. You're not supposed to. You know who you're supposed to do it like? You. You're supposed to do what you're supposed to do according to who you are in Christ in you. That's how you're not supposed to try to become me. You're supposed to try to become you. If I tried to become like you, I would be stepping outside of what God's called me to do. I have to stay in here where He's got me. You can do this. But unbelief's going to keep people from doing it. We've got, you know, students, oh, I could just, there's just so much. How do you understand all of this? How do you understand all this? This course is teaching you how to understand all of this. Because I know it's very possible there are things that are being shared and you're thinking, gee whiz, I've never heard this stuff before. It's like, man, I don't, okay, apply the foundational truth of this course. Pray in tongues. Well, yeah, but I just, aha, unbelief. Pray in tongues. It'll deal with all your yow butts. The Holy Spirit knows how to get rid of the yow butts. This power is going to come to help you to walk by faith in every area of your ministry. I'll give you an example. Jim, yes, Lord. Start a Bible college. Really? Yes, and don't charge tuition. Excuse me, God. How are we supposed to pay the bills? Trust me. Well, God, yeah, I mean, that all sounds well and good. However, you see what I'm saying? You can get to the place to where opening a Bible, I'm not telling you you're going to open a Bible college. This is just an example. You can get to the place where opening a Bible college and not charging tuition makes sense. Even though everybody around you says, huh? You're going to do what? It'll make sense. And you'll do it. And you'll get God results. Your family, you're going to understand how to be the right kind of dad, the right kind of mom, the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife. You're going to start seeing your own problems. But I don't have any. Trust me. Everybody else sees them. Strife. Now listen, if you can get a husband and wife to start praying in tongues, I'm telling you right now, the strife level is going to go down in the house. I'm telling you. If you take a Christian couple, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they just can't get along, fussing at each other, start talking divorce, if you can get them to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit can shed the love of God abroad in their hearts and restore that marriage. The family can be made right. Financial, the Holy Spirit can help you to walk by faith, an anointing of power in the area of finances. You say, well, how does that work? It's going to work differently for each person relative to your situation and what God wants for your life. But he can do this. If God wants you to have $50 billion, you say, oh, come on, Brother Martin, $50 billion? Wait a minute. What about these guys on the list every year that comes out, the world's richest people? What about them? They've got $50 billion. Yeah. And you don't think that's possible. Well, that's right, because I don't own a big company. So, Jesus wasn't in the fishing business, but he knew how to multiply bread and fish. You with me? Again, this is unbelief. And it's kind of unbelief, but we don't think it's there. Your health, all the incurable diseases, the doctor says you got this, the doctor says you got that, and it's almost like people, you ever been around Christians, like they glory in the diagnosis? Well, I got this. Sometimes Christians, like they'll come up for prayer in a service, and really, you wonder if they really want prayer, or they just want everybody to know how bad life is. I just want some sympathy. I just want some attention. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. Please believe me, I'm not. But you know what? The only attention that needs to be given is yours to the Holy Ghost. You know, you don't need people feeling sorry for you. You need to learn how to walk by faith. You need to learn how to walk by the anointing of God and get to the place to where it doesn't matter if other people know about it. The thing is, Jesus already died for it. By his stripes, I was healed. And sometimes this sounds cold and callous, but it's not cold and callous. This is all about learning how to trust God more than anything else. Absolutely any area of your life, the more that you pray in tongues is the more that you're edified into a level of faith, a level of anointing that will impact everything about you. Everything. Now listen, I'm just going to confess this to you right as of this recording. I'm standing here tonight and I'm wearing glasses, okay? But I say that by Jesus' stripes, my eyes were healed. And the thing is, I know this, if Jesus were to walk in this room right now physically, and I were to walk up to him and take my glasses off and say, Jesus, would you please lay your hands for the full manifestation of my eyes? And I know what would happen, and so do you. You know, he would pray for me, my eyes would be completely restored, I wouldn't need glasses, I wouldn't even need little reader glasses, little magnifiers, I wouldn't need that. And I know that by his stripes, I was healed. Yet there's got to be an area, a lack of faith, unbelief in me that's hindering the full manifestation of the healing in my eyes. Now, I'm not bragging about that, but I'm just using me as an example. It's amazing. Sometimes, in a service, I'll say something like, okay, now if you're here today, and there's anything in your body that you're believing God for a manifestation of healing, you know, stand up. And, you know, there'll be people that stand up, and I'll look out, and all these people with eyeglasses are still sitting. And I'm thinking, you mean that you have come to the place to, and I don't say this, but in my mind I'm thinking, you mean you've come to the place where you're willing just to accept bad eyes? Yeah, it is. They become so accustomed to these things on their face or the little plastic pieces in their eyeball, you know, the contacts. They're so accustomed to that. They have accepted that as a way of life. I say you don't have to. I know the body deteriorates. I know that. The body's not glorified. But I also believe, okay, then let's compromise. At least let's get our eyes so healed that even if we need to wear those little magnifiers to read the small print, okay, I mean, let's at least get to that point, okay? Do you see what I'm saying? And inevitably, almost every time that I do that, if you believe in God, sometimes I'll call for a prayer line. If you believe in God for healing to manifest in your body, come on up and stand here at the line and I'll lay hands on you and pray for you. And people will come up and I'll look out and there'll be folks back there with glasses on. And I'm thinking, man, healing is healing. You don't have to have a diagnosis of death in your body before you come up here. If you want to keep wearing those glasses or those contacts, but I don't like it. And I know, again, what I'm trying to do is drive home how easy it can be to have unbelief on the inside and not even realize it's there. Now, let's talk about the reason that we are edified. Let's be even more specific. Back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And again, verse 2, it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." So we're seeing a process again. It's talking here about prophesying to the church. Well, when you prophesy to the church, well, basically, you know, teaching, preaching, whatever, I mean, declaring the word of God, the mind of Christ is revealed. Now, I have to lay a disclaimer here. Not every preacher that stands up and delivers a sermon is speaking the mind of Christ, okay? And again, this is a tough thing for some people to grasp, but prophesying to the church, ideally, I mean, what we're seeing here in Scripture, okay, the mind of Christ is revealed. Now, remember, we're talking about spiritual development before before mental comprehension or mental development. Really, it's a better way to put that, mental development. But when when there's prophesying to the church, the mind of Christ is revealed, or the word of God goes forth. There is edification, exhortation, and comfort that takes place within the structure of the church. Now, granted, sometimes sermons are what you might call correcting sermons. But that is a type of edification. You know, those sermons where, you know, boy, pastor stomped on our toes today. Well, it's not a matter of offense. It's a matter of, you know, whom God loves, he corrects. Or he instructs in the ways of righteousness. He says, okay, look, this is wrong here, but this is how it gets corrected. So even when it's a correcting type of sermon, it's still bringing about edification, exhortation, and comfort because it's for your spiritual good. All of this, all of the edification, exhortation, and comfort is within the established boundaries of God's Word. It's all going to be relative to what He has said. Nothing that is birthed of God out of the mind of Christ that is preached is ever going to be exclusive of God's Word. Now, I know sometimes we throw in historical facts and so forth, but that's not what we're talking about here. And the prophesying that he's talking, it's not simply a foretelling of the future. I mean, it's delivering the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and it is a collective word for the church. In other words, you know how you ever heard somebody say, well, we just believe that all the people that God wanted here tonight were here tonight. Now, see, years ago, I used to believe that. I don't believe that anymore. I don't. What I believe is there are some people God wants in church, but they resist and they don't show up. You're going to tell me that all the drunks in the bar, God wants them there as opposed to church? Give me a break. So I don't believe that anymore. But what I'm saying is the people that do show up, when there is a prophesying or the mind of Christ revealed, it is a collective word for the entire church, everyone that is there. But now when it comes to praying in tongues, personal speaking, the mind of Christ, same thing, it is revealed. 1 Corinthians 14:2. When you speak or pray in tongues, God understands you. You're speaking in the Spirit, these mysteries. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again, the mind of Christ is revealed, verses 11 and 16. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So when you're praying in tongues, the thought process, if you will, or the thinking, the ways of thinking, the thoughts that come from the mind of Christ are released into you. I mean, I don't know about you, but this is such an incredible thing. I pray in tongues and the mind of Christ, that righteous way of thinking, is released into me. In Colossians chapter 2, look over there, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, look at this. When you pray in tongues, verses 2 and 3 get released in you. I mean, those two verses right there, those are treasure chests. Right? I mean, those two verses. Meditate on what these verses are saying. In God is all the wisdom of the ages. In God is all the understanding of the mysteries and so on and so forth. And when we're praying in tongues, these things are being released in us. The mind of Christ is opened up to us. It's like a book. It begins to open up, and it's spiritual now, but it begins to open up. And those, that way of thinking becomes a greater and greater factor in our lives. And eventually, you keep praying in tongues long enough, and eventually, the thought process or the way of thinking in the mind of Christ begins to dominate your every action, just like it did with Jesus. There is edification, exhortation, and comfort as you're praying in tongues. The difference is, when you're praying in tongues, you don't understand the words you're saying, but when you're prophesying, the people do understand what you're saying. And yet, when you're praying in tongues, everything you speak is within the established boundaries of God's Word. Whenever you pray in tongues, you are never praying anything that supersedes what God has already recorded in Scripture. So you could kind of think of it this way. If you want to know the concepts of what you're praying when you pray in tongues, it's all recorded in Scripture. Now, granted, your personal call is not recorded in Scripture. In other words, you know, Frank is called to be a pastor. Well, that's not in here, but the ministry calling of pastor is. So therefore, as you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit's able to release into you the understanding that you're called to be a pastor. He's able to release into you the mind of Christ as to what it means to be a pastor, how to function as a pastor, and he's able to relay to you how you are supposed to pastor in a particular church, in a particular country, in a particular culture. He's able to give all that kind of information to you. Now, a Christian who is edified, by praying in tongues, what we've been doing is, number one, we've been praying God's will. You are always praying God's will. Always. The Bible talks about praying amiss. You cannot pray amiss when you're praying in tongues. See, please let this be a consolation to you. That every time you're praying in tongues, every time you are praying God's perfect will. Now, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it is. And I don't know how that will applies and so on and so forth, but you are praying God's perfect will, always. You're praying His Word. All tongues, every time you pray in tongues, all tongues is God's Word. And faith comes. Faith corresponds to this. Faith is released through this. We're built up on this faith. We literally, think of it like this, you're feeding your spirit when you pray in tongues. I mean, it's spiritual communication from God. When you're praying in tongues, you have been praying the mysteries of the kingdom. The mystery of healing. The mystery of laying hands on people for them to be healed. The mystery of deliverance and casting out devils. The mystery of no fear in anything that you do. I mean, whatever it is, spiritual understanding comes as you're praying in tongues because God's Word is being released in you. So right along with that, spiritual understanding of God's Word is being released in you. The explanation of the things you don't understand, these explanations, they're deposited directly into your spirit, bypassing the mental filter. Because a lot of the things that we hear in our minds, they don't make any sense when they're preached to us. It's like, well, no, I don't think I understand it, so I'm not going to believe it. It's like, now, wait a minute. You pray in tongues, you're bypassing this mind and all the stuff that's been stored up there. It's going directly into your spirit. Think of it like this. A drug addict, they put the needle in their arm to get the drug straight in, right? Praying in tongues is like a spiritual needle to inject the purity of God's Word and His truth. Hallelujah. It increases. What we pray is released in our spirit, and it increases our capacity to house God's anointing and His power. Okay, we're going to break right here and come back in about 5 minutes, and we will finish off for this evening.